Dads Lifting Dads is a diverse community of dads coming together to celebrate our challenges and rejoice in our successes. It's about dads who know that true strength comes from vulnerability. And it's for dads seeking support and growth to become better individuals, partners, and dads. These are their stories. Welcome to the Dads Lifting Dads podcast, Cody Jarvis.
Hey, mate, how are you?
I am good, thank you. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I just wanted to start by, I guess, giving my, how I view and we'll dive into kind of your experience and your situation and your journey after this, but we had a to give a bit of context around kind of how we met or how we kind of came across this path. You know, we had a Dad's Lifting Dad Dad's Lifting Dad's chat last year, and you came to that, and we kind of all went around the room and shared our stories, and I think you were either one of the last or the last person dads to talk, and this is kind of testament to not only who you are, but you know, just I guess the situation and everything for you. But you know, there was a feeling there for you, and I think from memory, you didn't feel like you should have been there. You didn't feel like you know, it was. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you might have kind of felt like you shortcutted the way to your situation, and kind of as you spoke, and I know a lot of dads on that night shared the same sentiment as me, but there's not only a huge amount of respect for you and your situation, but there's a level of not many people would be able to do what you have done, especially at a young age. And, you know, I told you this last night because there was, you know, you were a bit nervous about coming on, and, you know, I was in a similar situation, a little bit different, but, you know, I ran in the opposite direction, you know, at you know, early 20s, I just headed the other way. I wasn't ready for it. And I wasn't even ready to have a conversation about it. I just, you know, put up, I don't know whether it was a wall, but I just wasn't, whether it was mature enough or anything, but, you know, so it's a huge credit and huge testament to you. And we'll dive into, you know, and give context around kind of what I'm speaking about. But I just wanted to start by saying that, because I think, you know, I don't want you to feel, and I don't want anyone that might be in your situation or a similar situation to ever feel that, you know, the reason this is the Dads Lifting Dads podcast is because we come in all shapes and sizes. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different journeys, different experiences, and there's different ways to become a dad. And I don't want the word dad or father to be lost in a biological sense or a, you know, because there's nothing. For me, there's nothing that's different with us. You know, we're both have kids. We both have to, you know, put as much effort into raising those kids. So there's no difference there. And I want dads to know that. I want people that listen to this to know that, because it's just, you know, dad for me is a title, and it's a title that you don't. You know, this, you don't, you know, just because you have kids doesn't make you a dad or a father, I guess. You know, the dad or a father, you embody that by how you are with your kids. So if you want to talk about, I keep calling it a situation. It's not a situation, you know, your story. So if you want to share just your story from, you know, how you, you know, kind of got to where you are now. So just, you know, a little bit of context around, you know, what I've just kind of talked yep. about.
Cool. So basically me and Shanae, we went to school together initially. So that's how we met for the first time. We used to speak back in the day a little bit, and then years passed on. She had a few kids with her ex-partner. So she had three kids, three beautiful kids. And then paths crossed again when we were both single, and we got chatting. And initially I had just come out of another relationship, and I was very hesitant towards getting in a serious relationship with anyone really. So it was kind of something that just fell into place. Both our friend Jesse, he's saying was, your vibe attracts your tribe, and that hits me still to this day. And I think it was me not wanting that. I was pushing it away. I was just waiting for things to come to me naturally. And then Shanae popped up, and it was something that initially we both just straight away hit it off again. And yeah, it was great. So as I said, like, I was a bit nervous and stuff about the kid side of it. So even me mentally, I was still trying to like push it away, but it was so natural with us that it just happened naturally kind of thing. Yeah, so we kind of kept it a bit quiet for a little while and just done our own thing, and then met the kids one night, and that was a pretty nervous time meeting the three kids, so that was pretty hectic. But I was pretty lucky. They took me on board almost straight away and let me be a part of their family, which I was stoked on.
Yeah, beautiful. So did you know Shanae had kids before? You obviously knew her, but before you kind of got into the relationship?
Yeah.
So what, and you touched on it a little bit there, that I guess what were the thoughts running through your mind? Because I know, you know, I told you, you know, my experience, I headed in the opposite direction. So kind of what for you was like, you know, I know there's some hesitancy there. I know it's going to be a challenge, but, you know, what was it for you that went, you know, this is the what I want to do and the right thing for me?
Yeah, I think it was initially that this man, Sinead, just hit it off like a house on fire. So it was kind of something that we both had to say, like, you know, let's do it or let's not do it. There's no stuffing around. We either jump in the deep end and hit it hard, or we go our separate ways or whatnot. So I think I just know that she was the person that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with, and it was just what it had to be. And I was so lucky that I got along with the kids so well and so naturally as well straight away, so that helped a lot. But yeah, initially I was very, very hesitant to even be in a serious relationship, let alone with a woman with three kids. So
yeah, it's interesting because you said you come out of the, you know, off the back of another relationship, and it's you know, a difficult thing to go into another relationship, let alone to go into another relationship that has, you know, there's kids involved as well, because there's a lot to think about when there's kids involved. You know, it's not just about, you know, the two, it's not just about a couple anymore. It's about, you know, a family. So, you know, it just, again, there's just such a huge amount of respect for you in that regard, mate, that, you know, it's a testament to the character of you. And it's also a testament to, you know, the character of Shanae as well, because it sounds like she's been super supportive of that journey for you, because I can imagine it wouldn't have been an easy thing for her to do as well, because, you know, when you let someone into the family, you know, again, it's not just about you as an individual, it's about you and the kids, and, you know, you've got to think about more than just yourself. So, you know, a huge credit to both of you guys, especially, you know, you guys are still you know, very young, so it's just, it's you know, maturity beyond your years. So, you know, full power to you to you both. So what was that like, meeting the kids for the first time? And, you know, you've kind of, I was going through a couple of your posts last night before kind of the interview, and you used a couple of beautiful words. You know, the family, you know, took you in, and they let you become part of that the family dynamic. So, you know, what was it like meeting them for the first time? how are you feeling? How was Shanae feeling? And yeah, just kind of talk about that experience.
Yeah, it was a crazy experience. Obviously, both of us were pretty nervous on even introducing me to the kids as a friend, even to start off with or whatnot. But initially, we met them at her mum's house, which was crazy in the whole scheme of things as well. But it was just a good night. It was we just kind of, yeah, as I said, like we just hit it off all pretty good and got running. So we just kind of all, I just become friends with them realistically. So it was good.
Yeah, beautiful. I think, it's, I guess, such a simple, you know, kids are so adaptable and so resilient in regard to that. And I think if you'd, you know, just to be able to engage with them and have fun with them, and, you know, there might be a lot of nerves there for you and Shanae, but, you know, a lot of the time kids don't know any different. And, you know, if you're there to, you know, just if obviously if you're making Shanae happy, they can feel that as well. So they can see that, you know, our mum's happy. You know, that's fantastic. So, you know, I think it's a you know, it's a beautiful thing to, and it's a, sometimes I guess we can look at in an overcomplicated way, but it's just a, you know, such a simple approach, especially if, you know, it is, you know, if it all happens naturally, and, you know, that's what you're saying. It's just such a kind of process that works that way. So how has your relationship with Shanae kind of changed over this time? So, you know, how has it, is it, has it evolved? Is it fairly similar to how it first started? Is it, you know, are you kind of coming across anything that, you know, is a challenge in a way? How's that process been for you guys?
I guess, obviously initially it would have started off as just me and her doing our own thing every now and then, getting more time, just the two of us. Obviously with her mum and all that kind of stuff, helping with the kids every now and then just to give us more date time and all that kind of stuff. Obviously now with lockdown and all that stuff going on, also, like, there's never any time. We're always got the kids. Their dad helps out with the kids every now and then, and, like, when he's got them on his weekends and stuff like that. So there's always, like, once a fortnight we get the kids, or we get the kids looked after and stuff. But yeah, there's definitely stressful times going throughout it. You know, kids are always on and off, and sometimes they like you, sometimes they don't like you, or vice versa. But it's definitely had its ups and downs, but it's been great throughout the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you touched on a couple of things there, and it, you know, we both had a laugh then about, you know, it's true, man. Like, kids, you know, kids will some days, you know, and I, you know, I challenge any parent that wouldn't, you know, wouldn't think this was the truth, that, you know, kids can drive you up the wall, you know, and to say that every day is perfect and every day is rosy and, you know, it's all happy families, you know, it's not true. Like, you know, we have to acknowledge that there's challenging times, you know, as being a parent, being a dad, being a mum, and being a kid. Like, it's tough being a kid. And, you know, everyone's going to have those challenging days. So I think, you know, and you highlighted an important thing there. And it's something that I guess I didn't think about when it, you know, because I guess when me and Chrissy started our relationship, we didn't have kids involved at all. So our relationship got to kind of blossom and bloom and to grow, and got to kind of work each other out. And because we had that time to do that with three kids there, that must have been difficult. And, you know, you said you got that space early on to have date nights and things like that. So how was that? Is that a challenge? And I guess it's, you know, for even for me and Chrissy, but how do you overcome that challenge now? Is it about just getting creative with how you guys use your time, you know, to get that one-on-one time and to get that couple time.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's we're just so content with even having time alone, let alone going and doing fancy things and stuff. Obviously, initially I love taking her out. I love doing all that kind of stuff. But now, even if we just sit at home, grab some takeaway, watch Netflix just while we've got some time or whatever, you just have to cherish those little moments because you don't get that many of them.
Yeah, no, you say it as if it's kind of, it's a simple thing, but that's a super, that's a powerful thing to realize that, to realize that, you know, you, and probably now more than kind of before, right? That those little moments, okay, let's just grab some takeaway, let's watch a movie, let's just chill together. You know, they're fleeting moments that we don't get, and to be able to appreciate those moments, I mean, it's such a powerful tool, because people look for people look towards, oh, let's go, you know, that 4-week vacation we're going to have, that holiday we're going to have, that's going to be the greatest thing. And when that kind of, you know, if you don't have that opportunity, or if that gets taken away from you, it you're forced to ask a lot of questions, and it puts a lot of pressure on the relationship in terms of, you know, is this a relationship going to survive without being able to do all of those things? Are we just looking forward to the future, or, you know, this next great thing, or are we able to enjoy the present, which is, you know, basically what you're saying, you know, just finding those little moments and those little, a lot of, you know, add all those little moments up and you're going to have big moments. You're going to have these, you know, these great moments of, you know, yeah, we didn't, you know, get to go to, you know, ABC, but we got to do all of these things and we got to do it together and we had that time together. So, yeah, that's a powerful thing. What does being a good dad or a role model mean to you? So how do you see, you know, being that good dad and that good role model to the kids?
Yeah, for sure. I just want to be a person where they can be comfortable with and have someone that they can come to and be present with and talk to and get vulnerable with. Also, like, I want them to see me as a good person and someone that they like to be around as well. I don't want them to be, you know, always wanting to play away, or I want them to be able to come to me and hang out with me and want to do stuff with me. Just want to be present with them and be open with them.
Yeah. Wow. I like that. I like that a lot. It's, how do you foster that presence and connection with them? Like, what is kind of your go-to things for that? Like,
I was pretty lucky, as I said, like, everything come naturally with the kids, friendship wise and stuff. Sometimes it is hard because I'll see the kids as my friends and my own age, like, they're like 3, 5, and 7 pretty much. So yeah, it's like, sometimes it's hard to actually remember how old they are, and they might be being silly or whatever. And in my head, I'm like, don't do that. Like, stop being an idiot. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, they're only 5. Like, it's hard to just remember that sometimes. Obviously, Sinead's like, oh, they're my little babies, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, to me, they're just friends and my own age almost sometimes. So it's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a, there's so much wisdom in that. And I don't know if you realize it, but it's like, there's so much wisdom in being able to see kids like that, because if you have the ability to see, you know, to go, oh yeah, what they're doing is silly, but hang on a sec, they're 5 or they're 3 or they're 7, like, that's what they're going to do. And for you to be able to, you know, play, and when you see them as your own age, or when you see them, you know, in that kind of that play state, and, you know, you're playing around with them and then they're your friends, that's such a powerful way to connect to kids. There's so much, you know, science and research behind how powerful play is with kids. So, you know, it's an underutilized tool, because as we get older, we tend to play less. because things get serious, right? We'll have jobs, we've got, you know, things to do, we've got to cook, we've got to clean, with all these jobs, and, you know, we forget how powerful play is. So to be able to use play to connect and to be present with them, it, again, like, just there's so much wisdom in that, and it's a, you know, a powerful tool for, you know, other dads to be able to use. Like, you know, there's going to be difficult times, and I'm not saying, you know, just be silly with the kids all the time, because that's not going to work either. But if you can come home from work, or if you can, you know, throughout the day, engage in play, and not just your play, not just say, hey, this is what I'm doing, come and play with me kind of thing, but, you know, if they're kicking a ball around, or if they're playing with dolls, jump in and, you know, be silly, you know, be, you know, the 3, the 5 or the 7-year-old, you know, and just immerse yourself in that. It's such a powerful thing. How, you know, you've said it a couple of times, you know, it's come kind of, the whole process has been natural. Where do you feel that comes from for you? Because I think a lot of people in your situation, and I don't want to generalize here, but it wouldn't come so naturally. And I think, you know, even for me as a dad, it wasn't natural. And there's parts that are, but there's a lot that's not. So where do you think that comes from for you?
I've always enjoyed kids and hanging around with them and stuff. Even when I was in school, we'd done like work experience, and I went and done like work experience at a preschool that I went to when I was a kid and stuff. Had 2 younger sisters as well, which probably helped me a little bit along the way. But I don't know. I think I just can connect well with most kids, and I've been lucky in that sense, I guess.
Awesome. Did you have anyone to role model that for you?
Just my like parents as such, like my mum and dad, they were both pretty good with us as such, but I haven't really had any other friends or anything that I've been hanging out with their kids or any of that kind of stuff. It was just kind of just me realistically.
Yeah, I like that. When it comes naturally, and when you're able to, you know, just embrace that, it's just such a, you know, it's such a good thing. It's a pretty huge deal to go from kind of 0 kids to 3 kids. And we've talked about, you know, that it has been natural process for you, and it has been a positive process. But what have been the struggles, you know, through this time?
I guess the learning that I can't just do whatever I want now as such, you know, I guess beforehand I could get up, not do anything all morning or whatnot, but now I've got to get up, help with Brecky, get him ready for school, all that kind of stuff. There's no just lazing around anymore. And if I want to go do something, like obviously Shanae will take the time to help me be able to do what I want to do still. But I'll always be the person to turn down something else to help with the kids or to help with Shanae or whatnot. If I wanted to go to a party or whatever, I'd be like, no, I've got to help Shanae with the kids. And obviously there's times where she'll be like, no, go and do your own thing, go away. But I definitely always turn to trying to help them more often than I should be, even what some say.
Yeah. I think, and again, for Shanae to be able to do that for you, like it's one thing as a parent, like when you think you have to give up everything, like and you don't necessarily have to give up everything. It just looks different, you know, things look different, but it's important for you to, you know, and by Shanae forcing you out the door and go, no, go and do what you need to do. That's a very undervalued thing for parents. And I know I do it, you know, when Betty was born, I didn't do it at all. I was a similar thing. No, I've got to be here. I've got to do this. I've got to do that, you know. And it wasn't as if I thought that if I wasn't there, Chrissy wouldn't be able to cope, but it was, yeah. It's that sense that, you know, I want to be a part of it. And, you know, plenty of people, you know, I remember when I took 3 months off when Betty was born, there was plenty of people saying, you're crazy for doing that. What's the point of doing that? You know, all the baby's going to do is, you know, sleep and eat and poop and that's it. But I wanted to be there. You know, that was the difference. Yeah. You know, I wanted to be a part of that process. But I now see the value on the other side of it is in terms of like, I you know, I try to get out, you know, some mornings to, you know, go and watch the sunrise, to swim at the beach, to run, to do all of those things to be able to fill my cup so I can come back, you know, and to be able to be present with the family. So I think, you know, it's an important thing. And Shanae obviously realizes that as well, that you've got to go and, you know, continue to live your life and to do the things that bring you joy and happiness, because that payoff from that is far, far greater. You know, if you're, you know, happy and joyful and content, that's going to, you know, rub off on the kids and the family dynamic, and it's going to, you know, and your relationship with Shanae as well. So, you know, it's a, yeah, it's an awesome thing that Shanae is, you know, essentially forcing you out the door, because it's,
that's definitely been a hard part lately, is obviously with lockdown and stuff, there's no outlet for me. Like beforehand, like boxing was one of the things I used to do to keep calm, mental health, all that kind of stuff. So shout out to G6 Boxing. But now it's like, what can I do? Go for a walk? It's like, sure, it's good to get out of the house, get some sun, all that kind of stuff, but it's just not the same, I guess. And, you know, especially not going to work. So it's just, walking isn't really my thing. It's something I enjoy being out and about, but it doesn't always fill the cup, as you mentioned before. So there's definitely something that's going to change around there. So definitely got to work on some stuff. So see how long this lockdown lasts for.
Yeah. It's a, there'd be so many people, you know, in that similar boat at the moment and listening to this that are, you know, same situation, right? That the outlet that they did have, they don't have anymore. And you're right. You know, we can say, like, I can say that, you know, getting out in the sun, going for a walk is do wonderful things. But if it genuinely just doesn't fill your cup, it will do wonderful things, right? But it doesn't fill your cup like, you know, boxing does.
Yeah.
You know, but punching a bag or, you know, punching someone, you know, it doesn't fill your cup like that. And that's okay. But yeah, I think it's a, you know, it's a reminder for not just you, but for, again, for people listening to continue to work, because we don't know. There's uncertainty here around how long this is going to be going for. So, okay, what else can I start doing? You know, do I pick up another hobby, or do I go and try this, or, you know, do something, you know? And I think get a bit uncomfortable with that, because the last thing you want to be doing is, you know, living on top of each other and then resenting it because of, you know, just for the sake of, oh, well, I didn't want to do that for that reason. So yeah, a powerful reminder, mate. And I thank you for bringing that one up. What advice would you have, or do you have for someone that might be in a similar situation to you, or might end up in that, you know, kind of going down a similar journey and path to you? What advice have you got for someone? Because like I said, I'm the last person to give advice, because I ran in the opposite direction, and, you know, and that was, you know, my situation and what was happening through my life at that time. But, you know, and I did it, you know, and, you know, to be transparent, I did it the wrong way. I essentially just ghosted the situation, you know, ran away from the problems. So what advice would you give to someone that, you know, to help them out, but to also, you know, if if it's not for them, then, you know, how to, you know, I guess essentially not ghost a situation and, you know, and run away and to, I guess, to own that situation.
Yeah. I guess you definitely just got to like weigh up the outcomes. Essentially, obviously, if she has kids or whatnot, you got to be able to positively deal with that. Also, she has to obviously be worth it. So if you're just wanting to get in there for a bit of fun or whatnot, then so be it. But if you want to make it serious, you got to go full in. Otherwise, you can't really just tinkle in your toes a little bit and then leave when you want to leave. I guess it's you got to just do the whole thing and or not do it at all. So that's where we kind of, we obviously done the first little seeing how it goes kind of thing as you got to do. And then once we knew it was on and we jumped pretty much straight in, we met the kids fairly quickly and then went from there. But I guess if, outweighing the situation as such, and I was pretty, I told her initially, like, you know, I'm nervous, I'm scared, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't know how I'm going to go with the kids. Like, I put it all on the table for her. I said, I don't want a relationship. I'm not ready for one yet. Like, I can't do it. You know, I pretty much said no to her initially. I'm very lucky that she was pretty persistent on me. So that was very thankful for that. But, I quickly matured in that sense, and I could tell she was worth it. So that's where I was just like, stuff it, let's make it work and let's do it properly.
Yeah. There's two things there that are just so powerful, you know, to acknowledge that you can't just, you know, dip your toe in and then, okay, that's, you know, kind of jump in and out when you feel like it. That's such an important thing, especially when you're considering, you know, more than just yourself and the, you know, the person you're in the relationship with. And then, you know, the second part is that open communication that you had, you know, you were open, you were honest, you were vulnerable in saying that you have no idea. And I think a lot of men in particular, and that was my problem, right? A lot of men don't have the ability to do that, don't have the ability to put it on the table and go, well, that's it, that's me, you know, that's, I don't know what I'm doing, you know, I'm scared, you know, and that's it. To openly say that you're scared it's such a powerful thing, because people think by saying that it takes away power, but it actually gives you more power, because it's just that honesty, that rawness, that vulnerability. And it's so important in a relationship, and it's underestimated in a relationship to be able to have that communication. So yeah, I think that what you've just said there, that entire thing is such a valuable bit of advice for people that were listening to it. So thank you very much for that. I just wanted to I guess give you the final word, because we'll wrap it up after this, but is there anything that you want to leave with? And it, you know, it doesn't have to be strictly related to parenting, because we've talked about a lot more in our conversation than parenting. But is there anything that you want to, you know, kind of a final word to anyone that listens to this? Because I think, you know, there'll be a lot of people that will be able to relate to it, even if they're not parents, or even if they're not in a relationship with kids or anything like that, right? Because there's just a lot there that, you know, people will be able to take away. So did you want to leave with the final word?
I think definitely what you mentioned before about filling your cup, I feel like that's a massive thing, like for anyone. You've got to be able to do your own thing, to be happy within yourself before you can be happy with anyone else. I was very lucky meeting the boys from Bridge the Gap, and Jesse and you and all the other guys in there, Nick and stuff. But that helped me a lot to get me to the person where I am today, I guess. So I think if I hadn't have met the boys and hadn't been trying to work on myself after my previous breakup with the ex and stuff, it would have been a whole different story. So that's kind of helped me build myself in that sense. So yeah, I think fill your cup. It's just massive life-changing things. Like, there's people out there that just want to see you grow, and all the boys can say that they've seen me grow, and it's such a good thing to know that people have witnessed my progression through life. And so that's pretty cool, and I'm lucky to be working at Civitas now, so I'm going to be seeing all those boys pretty frequently, I'd say. So I'll be always down in Terrigal, so you can always come pop along.
Beautiful, mate. I love it. And I, you know, finish off with, again, that I've just a huge amount of respect for you, not only for you as a person, but for you as a dad, because yeah, it's just there's a lot there that, you know, people haven't been there to see. But to be able to see, you know, you kind of grow and change in front of our eyes, yeah, just a huge amount of respect for you. So thank you, Cody, for jumping on the Dad's Lifting Dads podcast.
Awesome, thanks, mate.
Parenting is super rewarding, but it can be extremely difficult. I truly believe it takes a village to raise a child. It takes courage to share your story, and it takes strength to reach out for help. So I thank you for tuning into this episode. I genuinely appreciate you taking the time to listen. The Dads Lifting Dads podcast is not just for dads. So if this episode resonated with you, or you know a loved one that will get value from this, then please share it. You can find me and connect with me at @dadliftingdads on Instagram.